Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus wept. He knew sorrow. And once he told his disciples, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve." Weep, mourn, grieve. Just a few days after saying these words, that's exactly what Jesus sees. With the rooster's crow still ringing in his ears, Peter goes outside and weeps bitterly. Mary Magdalene, she's no different. We find her wetting the graveside with her tears. Think of that trek from Pilate's palace to the place of the skull as Jesus stumbled to carry his cross. The daughters of Jerusalem wept, mourned, and grieved for him along the Via Dolorosa. The scriptures, they share such raw emotions. Weep, mourn, grieve, because that's reality. If you ever had the delusion that the Christian life is one of ease, read the scriptures and your delusion will be cured. Christians hurt. We weep with wretchedness. We mourn over missed opportunities and we grieve over guilt. But the pages of scripture don't have to tell us that, now do they? No, in this case, the pages of Scripture simply confirm what we see in our own lives. Today, you are happy. Happy. After all, it is Easter. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. But I can guarantee that is not the case every day since last Easter. And I can guarantee that will not be the case every day in the upcoming year. So, why have you wept? What has caused your tears this year? Whose death did you mourn this year? Are you still mourning over a loss from a few years back? What guilt has caused you to grieve this year? Weep, mourn, grieve. The real question isn't what pain you have had or what's causing your grief. The real question is, how will you deal with it? Jesus had an answer for his disciples just prior to saying that they would weep, mourn, and grieve. He counsels, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." Did you catch that phrase? In a little while, 7 times within 3 verses. 7 times Jesus says, "a little while." It must be pretty important. You see, Jesus is telling them and us, take a step back. Take a deep breath. See the big picture. Whatever you are going through, whatever you are going to go through, it won't last long. Hang in there. In a little while, it'll be over. Sometimes we want to just slap the person that says, "In a little while." Imagine you're running number mile 21 in a marathon, and the person sitting in a lawn chair says, "Just a little while." You want to retort right back, "Easy for you to say, a little while. Why don't you run the race and see if it's a little while?" But it's different when Jesus says it. Jesus has a perspective that a different perspective than anyone else who has ever spoken these words. First, he's all-knowing. He knows how long our little whiles are going to be. For the disciples, he knew most of them wouldn't see him after they abandoned him in the garden. But he also knew that they would see him 96 hours later in a locked room. He knew exactly how long their little while would be. And he knows exactly how long your little whiles will be. He knows how long you will suffer with sickness. He knows how long your heart will ache. Hang in there. It will be just a little while. And second, not only is Jesus all-knowing, but he's also eternal. He's got a much better grasp about how long our suffering really is in the whole scheme of things. Ask one of our older members here today about how time flies. They don't say things like, it seems like yesterday. They say things like, seems like yesterday. Oh, wait, that was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Experience has taught them that. Well, now consider our Savior's eternal perspective. He knows our troubles are momentary compared to the eternal glory that awaits us. It might not feel like that to you, but Christ knows the eternal glory that's ahead of us. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Your grief will turn into joy." Now that's how the passage ends up. Not your grief will be replaced by joy. Not your grief will coincide with joy. But your grief will turn into joy. It'll turn to joy. That's what Easter is all about. It takes a sad, seemingly hopeless situation and turns it to joy. For the disciples, they mourned and grieved over the loss of their Savior. But when they saw him again after a little while, they realized that their Savior's death was a payment for their sin. In view of Easter, the cross that caused them so much grief just a few days prior turned into a source of joy for them. Look what Easter does to the grave. There was Mary crying at the tomb, but when her Savior stood next to her and called her by name, "Mary," he said, Easter turned that cold hole in the rock into the rock of her foundation, the rock of her faith. For Jesus is whom he claimed to be, the Son of God. Easter turned her grief into joy. But Easter didn't just change things for the disciples and for the women at the tomb. It does it for you, and it does it for me. Instead of weeping at the grave of a loved one, Easter turns our tears into droplets that magnify the blessings that we enjoy. Instead of mourning and fearing our own death, Easter turns our fears into a longing for a pleasant sleep where our souls enjoy heaven while we wait to be reunited in our glorious bodies on the last day. Instead of the guilt and grief of seeing our sins pinned on the cross, Easter turns the cross into a gift. It is certain. No matter how you look at it, Easter turns our grief into joy, and nothing can take that away from you. You see, we can always rejoice. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.